Good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting of the Legacy Funding Finance Committee to order. We do have a quorum, and therefore the first item is to approve the minutes of our April 7th meeting. And I think we'll ask Representative Freiberg if he's interested in moving those minutes.
I'd be delighted to.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes have carried. The first a few announcements here, and I'll probably repeat them when some more people show up. But today we will be doing the we'll be moving House File 303 Historical Society bill, which is actually a vehicle for the clean water bill that we will be doing. That's our major item today. There have been a couple of amendments submitted, but I think what we're going to do is this. I have reserved the right, we do have a 24-hour rule, but if we need to do an amendment, we can do it. I don't think we need to do these today. I would rather do them in conjunction with the whole bill, which we will be doing next Monday. So the amendments submitted today will be included next week, and you can amend them to this bill next week if you choose to do so. So, is that agreeable? May the record show that heads were nodded in the affirmative.
Mr. Chair, I agree.
Okay, thank you, Representative Murphy. All right, so with that, I would move that House File 303 be rolled over to be included in our omnibus bill, but there is an amendment to 303, and Representative Torkelson, would you care to move that?
Mr. Chair, I would move the DE2 amendment to House File 303.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Torkelson. The DE2 amendment has been moved to House File 303. Is there any discussion on the need to do the amendment? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The House File 303, as amended, is now open for presentation. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. DE2 amendment is substantially the same Clean Water Fund bill that was just heard last week in the Environment Committee and passed or referred out of Environment to this committee. There are a few minor changes that we will cover as we go along. To review the bill, I have asked the current chair of the Clean Water Council to be with us today, and he will do a walkthrough of the major points of the Clean Water Fund proposal.
Representative Murphy.
Procedure question. In addition to what you already have told us, then are we having testimony then on the Clean Water Bill DE2 during this meeting? Or are we having testimony on that when the omnibus bill is before us next Monday?
Representative Murphy, my intent is that we have discussion on it today, but certainly it will be open for discussion again next Monday.
An amendment.
Yes.
Thank you.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe my source of information is ready to testify.
Mr. Soros, would you identify yourself, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Patrick Flowers. I'm the current chair of the Clean Water Council.
Proceed, sir.
Thank you, sir, members of the committee. Just a real quick background real for you of the Clean Water Council, which was established in 2006. The council itself consists of 28 members that vote. Those members represent statewide organizations from just about every nook and cranny across the state you can think of, from farming to business interests to environmental interests. That group has worked for 2 years to develop the recommendations, much of which is in front of you in House File DE2. And That work was done with considerable stakeholder input throughout the entire process, from the development of what the goals and objectives were, what we called our principles and priorities, all the way through to the actual numbers that were developed towards the end of the year and then submitted to the legislature and to the governor on December 1st. What we have for you, I'm going to walk through section by section the bill, and I'm going to start with Section 2. Section 2 has appropriations for $113.203 million in FY16 and $112.999 million in FY17 from the Clean Water Fund. These numbers were from Minnesota Management and Budget's February 2015 forecast, and there is a 5% reserve that is on the bottom line. So there's a total of $225.202 million to appropriate from the Clean Water Fund. In Section 3, appropriations, these are the appropriations for Minnesota Department of Agriculture, which total $5.834 million in FY16 and $5.832 million in FY17. The Department of Agriculture uses these funds to monitor pesticides and nitrates, facilitate the implementation of agricultural best management practices, and support research and demonstration projects. One of the significant items that's on this is the Minnesota Agriculture Water Quality Certification Program. That's a program that MDA has been piloting for the last several years. It's just getting to the end of its pilot study. They had a total of 34 farmers that actually were certified as a part of that pilot project. They've had a total of 260 that have expressed their landowners and farmers that have signed up and expressed interest in the future. But only 34 were actually certified over the course of this project. 104 new conservation practices, and by new I don't mean new technology that was derived, but they were just new practices using the existing knowledge we have that were put on the ground that weren't there prior to the Ag Water Quality Certification Program. The bill before you does not recommend the amount that Department of Ag was asking for, in part because the council has not seen the results of the pilot project yet and wants to see the lessons learned and how it's going to be scaled up to go statewide. Right now, based on the dollars that have been spent, it's costing about $88,000 per farm to certify them. And on a statewide basis, we don't have enough money in the fund to cover that, to make that go statewide, even with the federal dollars match. So there's some questions about how we'll scale this up and how we get the economies we need to make this work on a statewide basis. Additionally, they've got funding for a new pilot program for Department of Ag that's perennial and cover crop research program. This is one of the topics that's very important for the long-term improvement of water quality, particularly for nitrates in the future. To the extent that we can get new cover crops or perennial crops that are suitable for our conditions in Minnesota, that will help facilitate being able to implement those on a broader basis and see substantial outcomes from those. Section 4 is the appropriations for the Public Facilities Authority. Those are $9.25 million in FY16 and $9.25 million in FY17. PFA indicated to us that their revolving loan program has adequate funding, and so they didn't need as much money to bulk up the loan program to meet the needs. They felt they had what they needed in the program, so that's why there's a slight drop in PFA's appropriations from the Clean Water Fund from FY14-15 to the FY16-17. Section 5 is appropriations for the Pollution Control Agency. They've got $26.25 million in FY16 and $26.248 in FY17 from the Clean Water Fund. PCA uses these funds to monitor surface waters in the state's watershed on a 10-year schedule and monitor groundwater. They also develop lake and stream cleanup and protection plans, enhance the subsurface treatment systems inspections, the septic system inspections, restore the St. Louis River, and conduct stormwater research. A couple of points about the numbers you see in front of you there. They are slight decreases. Actually, for the most part, PCA came in with requests that were anywhere from a 9 to 29% increase over their 14-15 appropriations levels. And when we requested to know why, the answer was these are cost of living adjustments, between 9 and 29%. The council looked at that and felt that that was a bit unrealistic, and so we limited them to a 5% cost of living increase. And So we used the 5% number across the board, not just with PCA, but with the rest of the agencies where they were justifying their increases as based on cost of living. We're recommending no funding for the PCA's Clean Watership Program. Concern for this program is that it's really supplementing traditional sources of funding as required in the Minnesota Constitution and may be duplicative with other funding programs. There hasn't been, to my knowledge, any funding provided for the Clean Water Partnership out of the General Fund for some time. It's almost exclusively been funded out of the Clean Water Fund for the last couple of biennium. In Section 6, we have appropriations for the Department of Natural Resources, $8.5 million in FY16 and $8.5 million in FY17. DNR does monitoring of groundwater aquifers, streams, and lakes to help identify the most important water quality issues. They also provide information to sustainably manage water supplies, and they develop color infrared imagery for riparian areas to accelerate and to help accelerate the development of the county geologic atlases. They also support water planning and implementation efforts. In Section 7, we've got appropriations for the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And just one note here before I get into the dollar values. Traditionally, we have only funded about 25% of the good on-the-ground projects that Bowser's had developed from the Soil and Water Conservation Districts and from watershed management organizations across the state. That's all we've been able to fund for the last, on the order of almost 10 years. Now, these are projects that are screened, that have good, measurable water quality outcomes, and we've only basically been able to tap 25% of those. And one of the things the council decided this year we really wanted to do was to change the paradigm about those on-the-ground projects that have good, solid outcomes. And to do that, we needed to push forward much further the amount of funding that we were providing for these outcome-based projects. So instead of funding somewhere in the neighborhood of about 41% of the council budget going towards these projects, we've pushed it to 62% for this year. And that's one of the things that's created kind of a tension in this overall budget, because the council's principles and priorities really pushed us to really go for projects where we've got solid outcomes and we know it's going to make a difference in surface water quality. And the Bowser budget is where the lion's share of that work takes place. So as a result of that, what you see is a substantial increase. It's 10% greater than what it was in 14-15. And so the amendment includes $10.043 million in FY16, $10 million in 17 to restore and preserve permanent conservation and riparian buffers, protect lakes and streams, and it also provides $500,000 in 16 and again $500,000 in 17 for general service grants to the Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Total, Bowser's getting $58.131 million in 16 and $58.132 million in FY17 with this particular amended bill that's in front of you. And I just want to reiterate again, these are the projects, this is the opportunity where we can really make a difference now while we're still planning for what we're going to do in the long run. Section 8 is appropriations for Minnesota Department of Health. $4.013 million in FY16 and $3.812 million in FY17. MDH uses the funds to protect drinking water by proactively assessing contaminants of emerging concern, sealing unused wells, and monitoring groundwater for viruses. Now, this is slightly less funding than we've seen in the previous biennium for MDH, and the council did that primarily through the well sealing program. We were concerned that Clean Water Fund dollars were being used to seal private wells, and we had a little bit of the same issue in some of the I&I discussions. And the issue there was it should be going towards sealing the public wells and then sealing where we've got low-income need that we need to address. But predominantly across the state, well sealing gets handled when there's a property transfer issue and the current property owner can't sell unless they seal the wells before the property is sold. The other two items that are in this one, it does include funding for two new pilot programs for MDH, one of which is water reuse, and the other is for integrating groundwater protection strategies into the local water planning process to get to that one watershed, one plan approach. And then lastly, the council recommended no funding for MDH's Lake Superior Beach Monitoring Program because it's, number one, not a statewide process and not a statewide program, And secondly, other localities across the state managed to address this with local funding and local resources without getting Clean Water Fund dollars to do it. In Section 9, appropriations for Met Council are $1.225 million in FY16 and the same amount for FY17. Met Council uses the funds to address emerging drinking water supply threats, expand water reuse opportunities, support local water supply projects, and prevent degradation of groundwater. This also includes funding for a new pilot program, which will be grants to encourage implementation of water demand reduction measures to ensure protection of drinking water supplies. At that point, I'm going to turn it back to Representative Torkelson, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Flowers, and Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sections 10 through 15 of the bill are a Jason Rarick bill that has to do with the One Watershed, One Plan initiative, and it was decided that that would be incorporated into this Clean Water Fund bill, which is appropriate. Section 16 deals with changes to the council, not to the membership of the council, but to the role of a couple of the members. The University of Minnesota seat and the Met Council seat have in the past been voting seats. It's my feeling that those two seats regularly represent organizations that are much more closely aligned with our agencies and that actually do receive funds from the Clean Water Fund. So it seems appropriate that they not be voting members, but that they be non-voting members of the council. Section 17 has to do with a prior program from the last biennium that was put in place but was not utilized because of the way it was written up. So we decided to basically cancel that program and replace it with a new program in this bill. And that's why, if you might have noted at the beginning of the presentation that we're spending $1 million more than was available, it's because $1 million is coming from last year's appropriations. And that is $1 million that is going to be distributed to SWCDs equally all across the state of Minnesota. With that, I believe I should review a couple of other changes. We've already talked about the Ag Water Quality Certification Program numbers. We've talked about more money going to the Bowser Buffer Program. There is some minor changes to Bowser language that are recommended by the agency, and those have been incorporated into the bill. The bill originally had an earmark for the Conservation Corps, specifying that a certain amount of money had to be spent with the Conservation Corps. We've made that language more permissive so that the agencies may spend money with Conservation Corps rather than a required dollar amount. With that, Mr. Chair, I believe we have covered the bill and the changes that were made after it came out of the Environment Committee.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Representative Kahn, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I had a question on this change. I had a question on this change of voting membership of the council. Have there been divided votes where that made a difference, that those people were voting members, not non-voting members?
Representative Torkelson.
To my knowledge, very seldom, but I think it might be better if the chair of the council remarked on that, as I'm a non-voting member of the council myself.
But, and
Representative Kahn?
The other point, as I read the voting members, you could say that every single one of those has kind of a conflict of interest in it. So I don't.
Representative Torkelson?
No, thank you, Mr.
Chair.
I'm not
sure I have a strong position on that.
Representative Kahn, those other members do not receive clean water funds. They certainly have interest. But they do not receive funds from the Clean Water Council appropriations, whereas both the University of Minnesota and the Met Council do receive funds from the Clean Water Fund. Perhaps Mr. Flowers would care to address the question
soil
about
water
split
votes. Conservation districts, watershed districts?
Representative Kahn?
Environmental, it seems to me that they've got a lot of interest in groups that receive funds.
Am I correct? The difference is they don't receive money.
Well, neither does the member of the Board of Regents or the member of the Metropolitan Council. receive money. They are connected with groups that do. I'm kind of interested if, you know, if you have a board that's working well together, the non-voting members can be as important as the voting members. If you have a lot of close divided votes where these people, where someone has an interest in eliminating these voices, you know, then I'd be a little concerned about it. So that's my question.
I would prefer that thank you, Mr. Chair. I prefer that the chair of the council address the issue of divided votes.
Mr. Flowers.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, couple of things. I'm unaware of any situations where we've been split to the point where those votes mattered. We'll have to go back and look in the record to be certain, but none to my recollection. Secondly, let me be transparent here. The council has not discussed the change in voting membership, so I can't speak on behalf of the council concerning that. However, concerning who receives funds and who doesn't, the people that are represented on the council represent organizations, not Soil and Water Conservation District specifically, but an association of Soil and Water Conservation District folks. So the associations themselves do not receive the funds. However, some of the people who either participate or contribute may, but the people who are physically represented on the council aren't themselves receiving dollars from the Clean Water Fund as a part of the appropriations or the decisions that we're making.
Representative Kahn?
Okay. I still think there's a little bit of terminology in here. But if it's a well-functioning board and on technical issues like this, you'd think that most of the decisions would be kind of made by consensus, then really, on boards that I've been on, kind of like, there really isn't a difference between voting and non-voting members. The important action takes place in terms of the discussion and then as you. So I just wanted to know if there was any, you know, motive beyond that expressed for taking them away from being voting members.
Representative Torkelson.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I assure you, Representative Kahn, there is no motive beyond what was stated.
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my question kind of follows Representative Kahn's. I don't quite understand the rationale of removing the Met Council in the Minnesota, University of Minnesota. You know, if you look at other sections of the bill, you know, on line 12.28, there's $1.5 million going to local units of government for structural or vegetative management practices to remove storm runoff. Line 13.20, there's over $4 million going to local governments. But, you know, 24.13, there are two members of the council that are represent organizations of city governments, so it seems like they're certainly, city governments are certainly benefiting as well. I guess I'm just wondering, did these two recommendations to remove this specific decision to remove these two groups, does that from a bill or where, I'm just a little unclear where it came from.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To answer your second question first, the recommendation is mine, my personal recommendation. If you know, you noted a number of other expenditures that go to these other groups, but they do not go directly to the other groups. All those other funds are expended first to state agencies, whether it be DNR, PCA, Bowser. So those funds flow through the state agencies before they go to these groups that you've mentioned, whereas with the Met Council and with the University of Minnesota, there are funds that go directly to those groups. And that's the differentiation here, and that's why I feel those groups operate much more like the agencies do and that they receive funds directly. And that is the rationale behind these changes. I have no... you know, there's no tight vote that I'm trying to punish someone for, anything like that. It's just a matter of structure and what's practical and reasonable and appropriate.
Representative Freiberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Torkelson. I was in the previous session, I was the vice chair of the Government Operations Committee. One of the things that we talked about on that committee was that any bill that relates to the composition of a board has to go through the committee, so I'm just wondering if because of this change to the Clean Water Council, if this bill then should go through government operations as well.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It was the feeling that because there was no change in the membership of the board, that that was not necessary. That is the way we interpreted it.
Anything else? Any other comments or questions by members? Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Flowers, I can't remember what it was now, but you said that appropriations were being decreased for programs that were the responsibility of DNR. And the money shouldn't come out of legacy.
Mr. Flowers?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, members of the committee, let me flip back through my cheat sheet here real quick. DNR has $8.5 million for FY16 and $8.5 for FY17, and I'm looking at my sheet here real quick that I have that details DNR, and...
What was some agency, you said because of constitutional reasons that we were decreasing, because the agency...
Mr. Flowers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy. Yes, that was MPCA's Clean Water Partnership. That's a program that has not been funded for the last several biennium out of the general fund and has become solely funded out of the Clean Water Fund. And because of that fact, and also the fact that it's duplicative with some of the programs Bowser does as well as DNR, we felt like that program should not be funded from the Clean Water Fund.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Flowers, I think I tend to agree with you, but could you tell me about, or you or Representative Torkelson, tell me what the discussion in Environment Committee was on that decision?
Representative Torkelson.
To the best of my memory, Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I don't think that particular item, change item, came up as a question during the hearing. I don't recall. I could be wrong. My memory's less than perfect.
I was afraid you were going to say that, Representative Torkelson. Mr. Chairman,
Representative.
So does that mean that the funding that we gave to MPCA for that purpose in the last two cycles then, and that MPCA wasn't exactly thrilled with it, evidently, that was a waste of money?
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the MPCA requested money for this program again, I believe. It was the council's decision not to honor that request. So it was the council's choice to not fund the program. It was PCA's request that it be funded.
But
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Torkelson, but not to enhance something that they were doing. It was just because, oh, thank goodness we'll get a little more money from this for that. And I just wonder if, and Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, but during the discussions in Environment Committee and when PCA was testifying on their needs, did they protest then that this money was being deleted from them for their purposes, or did they say how they were going to go back to funding it the way they were supposed to be doing, or were they silent on the issue?
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In relation to this particular program, the Clean Water Partnership, I don't recall that any remarks were made by anyone at the committee hearing. However, in relation to the overall cut, I shouldn't say cutback, the overall difference between the governor's requests for PCA and what the Clean Water Council and this bill recommends for PCA, there was some protest.
Representative Murphy.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Flowers, what do you think it is going to be the result of the decision that the Clean Water Commission made?
Or Mr. Flowers.
Council made.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, members of the commission of the count of the committee, what PCA represented at that meeting was that there's a potential loss in leveraged federal funds. They did not specify exactly what that meant or how that played out. I don't, as a member of the council, that was kind of the first discussion of losing leveraged funds that we heard from the PCA. They mentioned that the restoration protection, the RAPS development, the Watershed Restoration Protection Strategy schedule might lag and might see some impact to implementation. The council feels that the PCA can appropriately prioritize and still complete on schedule with the funding that we've provided them. They said that it might limit some technical assistance to local governments. We don't have any comment on that. They also mentioned that it would reduce the ability to identify drinking water contaminants of emerging concern, and that particular item had to do with a new program that PCA proposed in the governor's budget that was not reviewed by the Clean Water Council, called Program for Contaminants of New Concern, not to be confused with MDH's Program of Contaminants of Emerging Concern. And the council's not sure the difference between those two, and so we've remained quiet on funding that particular program because we haven't reviewed it. We have no idea what's involved in it. But on the surface, it sounds a little, it sounds like it's got some overlap. And then lastly, they said there would be cuts in part of the cycle, cuts in any part of the cycle impact might impact the ability of agencies to effectively implement water quality projects and practices. Again, the council's feeling is that after reviewing their requests and asking an awful lot of questions and getting into a lot of detail, that the funding we're providing is adequate to meet the needs. It's a matter of agency effectiveness and efficiency in using that money, not that there's not enough available.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Tarleton and Mr. Flowers. These councils they're interesting. I actually never really looked at your the council makeup, and so I was going through it, and it's quite a quite an interesting mixture, I can't believe I would speak for the Met Council myself, because I'm not one of their biggest fans, but I kind of question both of the changes with the Met Council, because you do have quite a bit of outstate. You have got township kind of representatives, and you know, it's a mixture, so I'm just not sure that you're making the board stronger by changing it. It'd just be my only comment. With that, and you know, I don't serve on it. There's quite a bit of quite a few members, as you see. So obviously, one person can't really move the ship. So one member is not going to make that much of a difference. But I would actually, I would see other, just by looking at it, I would do other changes. It'd be mine instead of getting rid of the university. I would have changed it altogether and had it been, you know, not just Minnesota, University of Minnesota or a state university. I would have had maybe an opportunity for someone from one of our colleges as well to serve on there. So I would have went the complete other direction, and I would have probably made you guys, the elected folks, I would have made you members. So that would have been my other... So I would have went different directions. So it's funny when you look at these things, how they, you might go different ways. It looks like Representative Torlson wants to make a comment, but
if you're done,
I have a lot more.
You have a lot.
Go ahead,
Representative Torkelson. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. Chair,
Representative Torkelson.
The changes on the board. First, the reasoning behind making the legislative members non-voting is that this is the governor's Clean Water Council. The governor makes each and every one of the appointments to the voting membership of the board. And so it's really, you get into this kind of conflict between the legislative and the executive branch if the legislative members are actually voting members of the council. So that's the reasoning behind that. As far as if other dramatic changes within the membership, if I would have done that, then I would have had to go to GovOps. So that's why I did.
Okay.
workshop. That's not really the reason. Representative Lilly.
Representative Lilly?
Mr. Chair, and I think you probably should go to government ops, but I know how this place works. And, you know, I see Representative Green is in here, so I had an opportunity just to kind of peek at the Nobles report, and so I just want to check in and see how you guys are doing. You know, there were some problems in the earlier years. I know we're in the fifth year, so you've probably dealt with it, and hopefully the answers are yes. So there were some problems with outcomes and measurements with Bowser money. I know you're going big on Bowser, so I kind of want a status report of how you feel based on the Nobles report and with the outcomes and those sort of things with the Bowser performance.
Mr. Flowers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lilly, members of the committee, we've spent considerable time going through with Bowser not only their program but how the administration takes place, and we're very comfortable that the projects that get screened and complete the screening process and end up filtered out at the end are good, solid projects that have measurable outcomes to them. The entire council was so comfortable with that the vote on the Bowser issue really was, if there was one outstanding vote, I'd be surprised. So from the council's perspective, we're very comfortable with what Bowser's doing and how that's getting managed and implemented.
Thank you, Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, Mr. Flowers, thank you. And I liked in your comments that you're focused on outcomes. And I don't want to get into it. I just totally, but I'm just curious if has the council made a judgment on some of the efforts that the governor's working on with the ditch buffers, and whether that's 50 feet, or it sounds like in his speech he was saying that he's open to variables. So I'm curious if you've had an opportunity to meet, and given that you're the Clean Water Council for the state of Minnesota, it seems like it's something that you guys should have a position or an opinion on. I'm just curious if you've come to some magic number, or if it's a, you know, I would imagine one doesn't fit all, but I'm just curious if you've come to a place of agreement with the, given that it's the Clean Water Council for the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Flowers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lilly, actually, if you look at page 13 of the council's report to the legislature and the governor, you'll notice that there's a couple of recommendations on there that have to do with policy issues. The first one actually is riparian buffers, and this was developed back in the October time frame of last year. So this didn't overlap in that sense. This wasn't developed kind of concurrently with the governor's proposal. But what the council's view, riparian buffers are low-hanging fruit, much like a lot of the Bowser projects. These are almost no-brainers that are going to achieve good, solid, predictable long-term water quality outcomes for us that we want. The difference was that the council looked at it and in reviewing it felt like there needed to be requirement for buffers statewide, but that how wide they should be, what exactly they should be, really needed to be defined on the ground by the soil and water conservation districts and by people in local areas, because there really are a number of different qualities that come into play that need to be evaluated to decide, is 50 feet right? Is 25 feet right? Do we need much more than that because of slope, type of soil, kind of erosive features and erosion, things that take place at a local scale and not just on a statewide scale. So we didn't go so far as to recommend a specific number and felt like there really wasn't a magic number to apply there.
Representative Lilly. Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I just think of, you know, back when this amendment passed, and I just remember the TV ads that were running and, you know, the cute little girl on the dock and, you know, you serve on different committees and everybody takes credit for passing this thing, but I got a feeling that girl on that little dock had a lot to do with passing it, and the story she was saying is, to me, as a voter, and I think to many others, was that clean water really matters, and that's how, you know, I think all of us look at Minnesota, or should. And one of the things that just stands on my mind, I had an opportunity to serve on the Environment Committee for a couple of years, and I just remember seeing aerial pictures of our rivers, And so you look at certain rivers and they look clean and it's pretty clear what's going on. They appear healthy and apparently you can eat fish on those and eat the fish out of those. And then you happen to get into a river that goes across a part of our state and there's quite a bit of erosion and other things that are going on. And so I'm glad you're looking at solid outcomes and figuring that, but you know, at some point this whole thing is really quite embarrassing for us as a state, you know, that we can't eat our fish. You know, whether, and I see in your studies you have a lot on mercury, you have a lot on well infiltration, you have, you know, but at some point you kind of said, you know, we need to put money for improving stuff. So this ditch buffer thing to me is a pretty easy fix and seems to make a lot of sense, especially, you know, I'm not a scientist. I have quite a few scientists in my family, but so I'm pretend like I might be. But, you know, the aerial pictures are pretty clear when you look at the rivers and what's going on, and the and then you look at the quality and what's living and dying and what's able to thrive in them. So, I mean, I'm glad you're spending the money, and I'm glad you're focused on outcomes, but I hope you're... council takes us even stronger position and some leadership as we continue in the next 5 weeks here and in the role of improving, really doing, making a difference for Minnesota. So, but thank you.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson.
Mr. Chair, just a brief comment in regards to Representative Lilly's comments. The Minnesota River, for instance, which does drain a good portion of south and southwest Minnesota.
I tried actually to name names specifically, but...
The Minnesota River fishery has improved quite dramatically. They're catching more fish. Fish are doing better. We are making progress. Now, that progress, we'd all like it to be faster, but it's not easy work. And, in fact, the Minnesota River flows through geological features that just kind of lend it to being cloudy water. And it's going to be very difficult to. You're not going to turn the Minnesota River into the St. Croix River because the geology is dramatically different. But the fact is, things are getting better. And when the governor says things are getting worse, in my opinion, he's misspeaking.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. At this point, anyone in the audience wish to speak for this bill? Anyone in the audience wish to speak against the bill? Well, you're not unanimous, Representative Torkelson.
I didn't expect to be, Mr. Chair.
Welcome. Identify yourself, please, and give us your comments.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Flood. I'm Assistant Commissioner for Water Policy at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. I also chair the Clean Water Fund Interagency Coordination Team. The team's responsibility is, well, it's composed of the seven state agencies which receive clean water funded appropriations from the legislature. Our responsibility is to make sure that we're working together as state agencies to make sure that the clean water funds are used efficiently and effectively and that they're targeted to achieve our clean water outcomes. In particular, we also want to make sure that we don't have duplicating or overlapping programs and activities. I believe included in your packet is a series of slides that I would just like to quickly go through the slides that we have here. If you'll look at slide number 2, so they look like this. They're two on a page. The Minnesota Water Management Framework, the governor's recommendations for clean water appropriations are based on this water management framework as specified in Minnesota Statutes 114D. That includes the fact that on a 10-year basis, we go through all of the waters of the state and do monitoring and assess their conditions of those waters. We develop plans to either restore those water bodies or to plans to protect those waters. We link those up with our local water management plans, with our local water local units of government and our partners on the local level. And then conduct ongoing implementation activities to either protect those water resources or to restore them to meet water quality standards. Slide three, the governor's recommendation has been developed using this systematic approach that stays the course in understanding our water resources. So the budget recommendations maintain our monitoring and assessment and developing those plans. It also accelerates on-the-ground protection and restoration activities with a particular focus on implementation of on-the-ground activities to address what's known as non-point sources of pollution, as well as enhance groundwater protection. In slide four, you'll see the pie chart there that the PCA and its six partner agencies, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Health, the Board of Water and Soil Resources, the Public Facilities Authority, and the Metropolitan Council all are looking for appropriations, and these are the recommendations. We've developed a coordinated and efficient approach for protecting and restoring our state's waters, and funds have been allocated among these agencies to support many different types of programs. As you can see from the chart, nearly half of the funds recommended go to non-point source protection and restoration and implementation activities at $109 million. This is an increase of more than $32 million over the current biennium to go for these on-the-ground activities. The rest of the funds go toward groundwater and drinking water protection at 15% of the fund, watershed restoration and protection strategies at 12%, monitoring and assessment of our water resources at 11%, point source implementation 9%, and then applied research and tool development at 4%. In the next slide, there's a table on slide five where overall I would say the differences between the governor's recommendations and those of the Clean Water Council and what's reflected in House File 1781, there's really overall very little difference between those two recommendations, but there are significant differences within funding categories that have some significant impacts overall. In slide six, it matters, those differences. For example, the Clean Water Council recommends a $2.5 million less in the Minnesota Ag Water Quality Certification Program, and the bill is actually even less than that at $1 million. This cut will result in the loss of $9 million in federal funds for this program. In addition, with $1.6 million less for our watershed restoration and protection strategy development, that's in the Clean Water Council budget, the PCA will not be able to meet its obligations to complete this work on the 10-year cycle as required by Minnesota Statutes 114D. And as Chair Flowers previously mentioned, there was an Office of Legislative Auditor. There's a page from their report that audit was just completed here in February, looking at the Pollution Control Agency and the Board of Water and Soil Resources and how we're expending clean water funds. At the time that we worked with the Clean Water Council in developing our budgets and providing and sharing information back and forth, the results of that audit were not available for us to discuss with the Clean Water Council. Finding three of that audit said that the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency was actually having other funds subsidize the work that was being conducted under Clean Water Fund, and directed us to address that particular issue by having more of our indirect and cost of living be paid for out of clean water funds, and that's where you'll see part of that adjustment. Clean Water Council recommended a 4% cap on cost of living. However, 12% of the to properly address the Office of the Legislative Auditor, 12% of those funds should be coming from the Clean Water Fund, and you'll see the governor's reflect that. The Clean Water Council recommends a cut to technical assistance for both the DNR and the Department of Agriculture for the work that they do to provide that technical assistance to local units of government. There's also a reduction that will lead to less information about our compounds of emerging concern in drinking water. The programs between the Pollution Control Agency and the Department of Health are not duplicative of each other. We both work very closely together to develop our programs and have each one of those appropriations each plays to our strengths. The agencies are concerned that cuts in the parts of this watershed approach cycle will impair our ability to effectively implement water quality practices and protections. And I specifically also wanted to address Representative Murphy's comment and questions about Clean Water Partnership. Initially, the Clean Water Partnership was actually created in the mid-80s, 1985, with a particular focus on identifying and then restoring, doing restoration activities that local units of government would conduct, and that those activities were focused strictly on restoring impaired waters by those local units of government. When the constitutional amendment passed, the Pollution Control Agency revamped that program, totally focused on protection activities. So even though the funding from the general fund at that time in subsequent biennia was reduced, the program is substantially different and is intended to be an acceleration of protection practices and not a duplication or a supplement issue. On slide 7, you'll see that in conclusion, I guess I would like to say that the state agencies work together to develop a system-wide coordinated approach to address water issues. This coordinated approach helps us to ensure that we have complementary actions that address our broad strategies, that appropriate agencies are working toward their strengths, they're not duplicative, and that we are adequately identifying problems before taking steps to fix them. We want to make sure that we're properly targeting our state and federal funding where we can to do the greatest amount of good to achieve water outcomes. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Oh, thank you. Ms. Flood, if you could just maybe summarize a little more concisely, can you give me two top things you don't like about this?
I believe Representative Torkelson said, how about 10?
I'm making it easier on you. Just two.
Just two. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I think the governor's recommendations really reflect a balanced approach to achieving our water quality outcomes. We absolutely agree with the Clean Water Council that there needs to be a continued enhanced focus on the ground activities. That's why you'll see the governor's recommendation increasing that to $32 million. It wasn't as much as what the Clean Water Council and House File 1781 recommend, but it is a commitment from the governor to increase those on-the-ground activities. With that said, I think the focus that the council has pushing more of those dollars out toward on-the-ground activities and non-point source reductions sacrifice other areas of the governor's budget to those additional on-the-ground activities.
Thank you. Members, any questions of Ms. Flood? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Flood, from the origins of the framework on the four funds and for the Clean Water Fund, as well as every other fund, one of the goals was that we should try to use the money as much as possible to leverage federal dollars and other dollars. But you've said then that the recommendations of the Clean Water Council then will result in at least $9 million of federal money. Is that to the MPCA as a total, or is that legacy funds to legacy funds? Is the $9 million the federal money? Would that be used to match the legacy funds?
Ms. Flood.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, those are federal dollars from the Farm Bill, from a commitment from the USDA specifically to go to the Minnesota Department of Agriculture for the Ag Water Quality Certification Program. Assistant Commissioner Matt Wollman is here if you have more specific questions about that program, but it is to use clean water funds to leverage federal dollars.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of comments in relation to that. You heard Mr. Flowers earlier talk about the Ag Water Quality Certification Program as being fairly new. They've just completed their pilots. The federal money is really a five-year grant. To say we're going to lose all $9 million, even under this bill, we'd actually match $1 million of it already. So we're not going to lose all nine, I don't believe. And we have 5 years to match those funds. I'm still trying to get more information from the program as to the specifics of how they intend to operate this program in the future, how we might potentially make it a statewide program. At the rate they've been spending money, that appears to be impossible because of the funds required would not be available. So I'm not trying to kill this program. I'm not trying to avoid federal funds coming to the state of Minnesota, but I think there are some accountability issues here that do need to be addressed before we put a lot more money into this program.
Representative Murphy?
And Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, then, just for my clarification, because I don't know what Department of Ag is doing at all, and the program that you mentioned and the pilot projects that are being expanded, perhaps those aren't legacy dollars, those are department dollars. Am I correct?
Representative Torkelson?
They are legacy dollars.
They are legacy dollars. That program is a legacy program.
Yes, it doesn't mean that they couldn't use department dollars. They certainly could if they have room in their budget to assign dollars to the program.
Okay. Yeah. And Ms.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, one more time, then, Representative Torkelson, is that funding, is that a line item in here, the pilot program that we're losing the federal dollars from?
Mr. Chair, the Ag Water Quality Certification Program is in the amendment. I believe it's on page 3. And the item is starts on line 3.33.
Okay.
And continues on to the next page.
And so that.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Torkelson. So June 30th, 2020. And Ms. Flood, then. Is the $9 million, are you talking about that from now to 2020 also?
Ms. Flood?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, I would appreciate it if Matt Wollman, Assistant Commissioner from the Department of Ag, could address the question.
Thank you.
Mr. Wollman? Welcome to the committee. Identify yourself, please.
Yes. Matt Wollman, I'm Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Representative Murphy, the Regional Conservation Partnership money, which is the $9 million federal grant, was awarded to Minnesota over the next 4 years and is available through fiscal year 2019. But, Mr. Chair, the money that is in the Clean Water legacy fund in the current biennium that we're in had appropriated $3 million. That money was used for salary and benefits for staff to administer the program. We also did pass through to the SWCDs. So each of the local pilot areas, we had a facilitator in each one of those pilot areas to work with farmers to identify the conservation practices that needed to get put on the ground. We wanted to make sure that this was not an unfunded mandate to a local unit of government. And then also for financial and technical assistance to assist landowners in adopting those practices. That $3 million leveraged another roughly $3.6 million in federal funds. The NRCS producer contracts were about $3 million there. There was a match of the technical assistance for the staff to the local pilot areas, and there was also the McKnight Foundation gave us a grant to help us develop the assessment tool by which we measure a farm's conservation level of conservation.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Murphy,
Representative Tarkison, then is it just that it's not moving along as fast as it could, or is it because the Clean Water Council did not embrace all the details of the ag partnership like they wanted, like all the they're not trying to kill the partnership, are they? I don't know how to say. What were the...
Mr. Woman.
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Murphy, I would just note that there were 260 farmers that signed up in the first 8 months. 34 of those have now been certified, but the 260 farmers are at some stage in the process. They're going through the assessment, looking at the conservation practices that need to be installed, working with their local unit of government to identify the funding, et cetera, to install those practices. 34 farms have already made it through that process. This is in the first 8 to 9 months. As a result of those 34 farms going through the process, 104 new conservation practices have been adopted in 8 months. And in the pilot areas, we're working in about 2% of the state's land area. We did a survey of all farmers and landowners in those pilot areas, and 77% of farmers and landowners that were surveyed expressed interest in participating in the program. And so what we're doing at this point in the process is looking to expand. We've already developed the mechanics for which how we would deliver this conservation. Now we're looking to expand those into regional areas and eventually toward a statewide approach. That's what the $9 million federal grant was dedicated to, help us move and demonstrate how you would take a pilot program like this and roll it out toward a statewide approach.
But Mr. Chairman,
Representative Murphy,
Mr. Commissioner, does this automatically say then that we won't get the $9 million federal money if you've got all those details worked out and so forth with
Mr. Chair,
lessening the Clean Water Council's recommendation fund?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, my understanding is working with the federal folks, if we do not get the $5 million, we would not be able to leverage the $9 million federal grant.
Okay, thank you. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the $9 million from the feds, my understanding is that does not support the program. It is money that goes to the farmers. Is that not correct, Mr. Woman?
Mr. Chair, it is money that is going directly to producers in rural Minnesota to adopt the actual practices. This is the cost share money. It's coming through a number of different programs, through the environmental, the EQIP program, the CSP program, and others.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, did the Clean Water Council get a target from you for how much of the legacy funds they were going to have to spend?
Not from me, no.
Or from someone?
I would assume, yes, that Representative Torkelson?
Mr. Chair, the spending in this bill is based on the funds available with a 5% reserve held at the bottom line, as has been the policy since the beginning of legacy funds.
It's just that the...
Representative Murphy.
Then, Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, so it was just that the Clean Water Council had different priorities.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As Mr. Flowers said earlier, they made a recommendation to this particular program of $2.5 million based on the facts that it's really just getting off the ground, and they weren't completely comfortable that the program has been thoroughly developed. I would just add that we did some rough estimates. I've been meeting with the department regularly, trying to work through these numbers and through the process of trying to expand this program. We did an estimate in my office this morning that estimated that if this program went statewide and reached 75% of the farmers, it would cost $703 million.
We don't have that much. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Torkelson. I appreciate the conversation on this and the dialogue, and I was going to mention it earlier and I forgot, so I appreciate that Representative Murphy asked the questions, but I would just encourage you to look at it. I remember, you know, we always in this building we argue about, you know, our taxes and those sort of things, and none of us, you know, we're in that season, that joyful season, but you know, so much of our money that we get from the feds back as a state, you know, I mean, there's some states that have these big military bases and all sorts of stuff, and they get a much greater return for their dollar than of the money that they send off to Washington. And historically, Minnesota just doesn't do that great of a job. So I remember a couple of years ago, I started hearing about this, you know, I mean, everybody that was on the environment committees like yourself would know about RIM. Well, I didn't know much about it. And one of the great things about RIM is that you've got the compounding of the money that you put in and you got the money back. So I would just strongly encourage, especially to do this and to go with it strongly, because it's an opportunity where we can compound our investment, and especially where you've got 77% of the farmers and folks out and that are interested in pursuing it. I realize that $703 million you mentioned isn't going to happen, but certainly moving the needle is, and I'm glad to hear you're working on it, because I think there was comments earlier that you didn't hear about it or something. So I have no idea, and I don't really, but I'm glad you're working on it now, and that's important. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. Any other comments? Is there anyone else that wishes to speak in the audience? Anyone else? Any concluding comments, Representative Torkelson?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I would especially like to thank Rebecca Flood from the PCA for the work she's done with the interagency working group. It kind of developed in parallel to the Clean Water Council, and it's been a great benefit to water quality efforts here in the state of Minnesota. I would also like to point out the League of Minnesota Cities letterhead on a letter that a number of groups signed on at the bottom that are supporting the Clean Water Council recommendations. I would appreciate it if members took a look at that. We do have broad support for the council's recommendations, and with that, Mr. Chair, I would conclude my remarks and ask you to incorporate this into your legacy bill.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. We will, at this point, then renew the motion to refer, well, to lay over for possible inclusion in our omnibus bill, House File 303, as amended. So, at that, thank you. We're done with that bill. I'll just announce again that next Monday we'll be going through the whole bill. We'll have time for amendments and I'm sure a very entertaining discussion. So if there's nothing else, well, King, this case is closed.